roses. Since it's our 58th wedding anniversary, thank you for all of your good wishes to us. And I would say that it's been a blessing to me to be married to Barbara all of these years. And I think we're going to make it. She's finally learned to adjust to all of my faults. One of my faults, you know, those of you who know my wife, she's a cleanie. I mean, everything's got to be spick and span and spotless and all that kind of stuff. And especially when her big sister's coming to see us from Arkansas, you know, just ask Joanne and Rebecca if you don't believe me. The house has to be turned upside down and clean and everything. But thank goodness, after all these years, she's finally learned my study, my office, is my territory. Stay out. So anyway, so we're going to make it.
First
7 years
are the hardest.
First 7? 70. Oh, 70. Okay. Yeah, well, but anyway, it's good to be in the Lord's house today. And we're going to continue our study in the book of Ephesians. So would you turn with me as we speak on the subject, walk as children of light, from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 14. Would you stand with me as we read these verses together? And this will be reading out of the ESV version. Beginning with verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed to the light, or exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, speak to us from your word. Thank you that Jesus is the light of the world, and that when we believe in him, we receive that light in our lives. And that light is life for us. So speak to us today from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Preaching through the book of Ephesians, we are in the second section of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 9. And the theme of this middle section is the walk of the Christian. And so we've been talking about walking as a Christian. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but walking is an important activity that most of us are engaged in every day. Walking is something, usually you have a purpose when you're going somewhere. If you're walking, you know where you're going, you know why you're going there. Unless you're like me, sometimes I am upstairs on the second floor in my study and I think of something I need downstairs or need to do downstairs, and I walk down the stairs and I can't remember why I walked down the stairs. Now, I don't know what you do in those situations. But I just turn around, walk back upstairs. Usually it comes back to me, and then I walk back down the stairs and accomplish what I wanted to do. But walking is a common metaphor that Paul uses to describe the Christian life. And in our world today, there are many different kinds of walking. There's the normal walk that I've been talking about that we use in our everyday activities, going about our business. But there's also a strolling walk when you just go out. You don't have any particular goal, or you're just out there to enjoy the cool air. Maybe one of these days we'll get some more cool air here in Texas. And then there's race walking. Have you ever seen race walking? This is an Olympic event. And it has two rules. Of course, first of all, you got the fastest guy wins. But the first rule is that in walking, you've got to have your feet in contact with the ground at all times. No leaving the ground. And the other thing is, as you're walking, this leg can't bend. All right? It has to stay straight. If it bends, you've broken the rules and you're disqualified. Okay? So that's race walking. And then there's speed walking. Now, speed walking is very similar to race walking, except you don't have the rules. And it's just the fastest guy. You want to go fast. And you've seen people out doing their morning exercise or whatever, and they're doing these weird things. They're walking. They don't want to run, but they're walking as fast as it's humanly possible to walk. And as you observe them, you think that must be an alien from outer space because it's so weird to look at. And then, of course, there's power walking. Those people who get out and walk and they've got weights in their hands and they've got weights around their ankles and they're walking and they're trying to build up their strength and their stamina. Power walking. Well, Paul has been talking about the Christian walk. Over in chapter 4, verse 1, he said that we need to be worthy, walk worthy as of our calling as Christians. And so what he means is that we need to make our Christian life measure up to the standard of Jesus Christ that he has left for us. We need to walk worthy. In the last message, we preached from the first part of this chapter, beginning with verse 1 and verse 2, and we talked about walking in love. Today, we're going to go to another subject, and that is walk as children of light. And I pray that God will use this to teach us some things that we need to know that will help us in our Christian life and witness. Now, as Paul, the scripture that we've read this morning, as Paul talks about this, he talks about, first of all, their past walk. Let me read it again. Verses 7 and 8. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness. Notice he doesn't say you were in darkness. You were darkness. Because everything that pervaded their lives was darkness. They were completely separated from the light of God because God is light. And they did not have the light of God. They did not know God. They did not know and understand the things of God. And Paul uses the word partners here. He said, therefore, do not become partners with them. The word partner means a joint partaker in something. And so you and I, as God's children, we have received the light of God into our lives. And therefore, Paul says, walk as children of light and don't go back and walk with them in the former life that you had. And so he said, don't be partners with them. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19 tells us what that walk would be like, or what that walk was like. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you now, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, who mind earthly things, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. And so, that is the walk of the world. That is the walk of people who do not know Jesus Christ. And that walk encompasses people who are very religious to the people that are very outwardly evil in their life and conduct. but because they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are in darkness. Now, Paul, in verses 3 through 6, the verses just above, and by the way, I apologize, the PowerPoint, I've only got the scriptures there because I just ran out of time and I didn't have time to do the whole outline. So you can just have to be satisfied with the scriptures this morning. But verses 3 through 6, Paul tells us what that life before Christ was like. Now, I'm not going to read this entire passage, but just looking verse 3, he says, sexual immorality, and then impurity or covetousness. Then down to verse 4, he said, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. And then skipping on down to verse 6, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. But I would sum it up by saying that any life without Christ is a walk in darkness. But these, as we consider the world that we live in today, and the world of Paul's day, those things that he mentions there are the common, the natural, the normal walk of the world. That's man's nature. John chapter 3, verse 19 says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. You see, we live in a world of darkness. If you read through the Bible, you'll find from the Old Testament to the New Testament, this word darkness is one that is commonly found to describe the way, the life, the conduct of those who do not know God and believe in Him as their personal Savior. People love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, he says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. And that's a sad indictment on our world, but it's a true statement and a true description of the world in which we live, the great majority of the people in the world. Now, the second point, you know, we might make it out by 12 after all. Somebody mentioned to me that they hoped that would happen, but who knows? Their present walk as children of light. Paul says in these verses that they now are children of light. And he is saying, you need to walk that way. God is light. You're children of God. Therefore, you need to walk as children of light, manifesting that light of God, that purity, that holiness, that righteousness that is God. We need to live it out through our lives as we go through the world in which we live. We need to walk that way. We need to be what we are. We're children of light. Therefore, we need to be children of light. Live like it. Now, Paul, in these verses, makes the contrast clear between the children of darkness and the children of light. Now, I could have spent a lot of time talking about the Bible makes it clear that when we are still walking in darkness, we are the children, the sons of Satan, the evil one. And because of that, Satan is leading and controlling and guiding our lives until we come to know Jesus as our personal Savior. Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when we believe in Him, the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and our lives. And through the Holy Spirit, Jesus indwells each and every one of God's children. And therefore, we have God's light in us. So Paul says, now you are light in the Lord. Verse 8. Now, we know the importance of light in the physical realm. All life depends on light. Without the light of the sun shining in our world and in our universe, everything would die. There would be no living creature here on earth. Spiritually speaking, Jesus Christ is the Son who gives light to the world, to all who believe in Him. And it is only through believing in Jesus Christ that light is possible. I mean spiritual life. Life that comes from God. Life that is eternal. Life that is abundant. We must have spiritual life through Jesus Christ. Now, Paul gives us a quick description up in verses 3 through 6. He described the life of those who are still in darkness. And now in verse 9, he gives a very brief description of the light walk. How the children of light walk. And let me read that again. He says, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and truth. So you have three things that he uses. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. That these three characteristics will be found in the children of light. The first thing he says, we will be good. One of the attributes of God is goodness. God is good. God is absolutely good. And God does everything that He does for your good and my good. So to be good, to walk in children of light and be good, is to be like God. That's kind of scary, isn't it? But that's what Paul is saying here. We need to be like God. Applied to the Christian, this word goodness is a broad term for to describe the conduct and the benefits others receive from your life and my life. All right? If I'm good, I'm not just selfishly concerned about me and mine. But I have that. Every Christian should have an antenna. And our antenna ought to be receiving signals from people that we meet, that we come in contact, that we live around, who are hurting, who are in need. And because we are good, we will do everything in our power to help them, to meet their needs. A good person is concerned for the well-being of others, both spiritually and in every other way. And then the second thing he talks about, the light walk, we will be righteous. This means that we will have a total and a new commitment to obey God's commands, to live our life in accordance with the Word of God and the commands of God. And that's what a real true Christian is. So when Paul says you're children of light, he says that you are walking the righteous walk. You're walking a walk that is in accordance with the truth and the commandments and the standards and the Word of God. Upright before God and before others. just and fair in the way that we treat other people. We always want to do what's right for other people. That's what the children of light do. Then the last thing, we will be people of truth. Truth demands a deep commitment to live with integrity. Make my life in accordance to the standard of God. You see, when we come to the light, we believe in Jesus, who is the light of the world, and He takes up residence in our hearts and our lives. We've come to the source of truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, Jesus said, Paul said, "You have heard about Him," and not Him is Jesus, of course. "You have heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus." So, children of light, walk in truth, because we're walking with Jesus. Now, one of the wonderful things, as we've considered this contrast between the children of light and the children of darkness, the transformation. Because Paul says here, at one time you were darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. You see, something's happened. There has been a transformation. There's been a conversion, if you please. So that they have believed in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And before they were walking in darkness, they did not know God. They did not know what it meant to be good or righteous or truthful. They've been transformed. Some of us probably have been in caves, these big caverns where you go in and they turn the lights out for a few seconds. And there's total darkness. You cannot see your hand in front of your face. And you get the sensation there while those lights are turned off, and those few seconds seems like an eternity. But you get the feeling of what it's going to be like for people who will live in eternity in total darkness. But you see, when God saved us, He opened the eyes of our understanding so that we saw the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And what a wonder that is. Now, I understand that not everybody knows the exact time and place when they became a believer and were saved by the grace of God. And that's all right, as long as you have that conviction, that confidence, that assurance that you're saved by the grace of God. But some of us can go back to the exact time and place when we came to know the Lord as our personal Savior. And when that happened, we saw our true condition as guilty sinners. But we also saw the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross to cover all of our sins. And when we made that commitment and that light of God shined into our heart and we were saved by His grace, we had a new understanding of God's Word and a new desire to know God and His truth more and more. And now that we're saved by the grace of God, we have the light of God in us. We now hate the sin that we formerly lived in, and we long to be like Jesus. That is what God's children, children of light, do. We now walk in the light rather than in the darkness, because God has made us light in the Lord. And so, in case there's someone here this morning who has not made that choice and that decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior, I pray that you would consider seriously. Time is fleeting. Time is, you know, it seems like only yesterday when we walked into that church in Abilene, Texas, and said our vows together and began our life together. Life is so short. Have you made your choice? In John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." You know, what a fantastic thing that was. Jesus, Son of God, eternal God, omnipotent God, creator God, who came down to this earth and walked among men for such a short period of time. And what he's saying here is, while I am the light of the world, and while I'm walking among you, believe in the light. Receive the light. Because the alternative is eternal darkness. And the same is true for you and for me. Believe in Jesus. He is the light of the world. Point number three. This is the last main point. The purpose of their walk, to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13 that we used as our text this morning, or part of it. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Now, Paul here is possibly referring to the various rituals that were associated with the Temple of Artemis there at Ephesus. It was considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, and it drew worshipers and tourists from many different lands across the ancient Far East. And in that temple, there were rituals combined with idolatry that was involved every kind of sexual sin that was committed there in the name of their God there at that temple. And when Paul speaks of the things that were done in secret, he means the vile forms of evil that go beyond ordinary acts of sinful rebellion. And that was what was going on in the temple of Artemis. And Paul is saying that that lifestyle, which pretty well describes our world today, that's darkness. And we don't want to have any part of it. But what Paul says here is, rather through our lives, because we're the children of light, and wherever we go in this world, God's light shining through us. And the purpose of that light is to expose the works of darkness. To show to the people who are walking in darkness the light. A lot of scriptures that we could use this morning. But I would say this, that if you and I are no different in our thinking and our attitudes, our words and our behavior, then unbelievers, that the people that we're around at work or in our neighborhood, if we're no different from them, then our witness is futile, it's null and void, it's worthless. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them. Another translation has, when you do not run with them. When you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. You see, what Peter is saying here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that because we're children of light, we're to be a witness to them. And we're not to join in with them, or we're not to show any sympathies or any interest in their lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 18. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial, or what portion does the believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make them my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate for them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Now, this, of course, in Paul's day, probably had a specific context that Paul was referring to. But I think that the principle is true. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, Paul used in our text, he said, don't be partners with them. Don't be joined together with them in their activities that will not give honor and glory to God. Anything that will not bring honor and glory to God, we need to stay away from it. Ephesians 5, 11 and 12. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. Expose them. And it's only the light of God shining through the life of God's children that can expose the sins and the darkness of the world. And let them know. And I'm just going to cut this short. This word expose is a very interesting word. If you turn over to John chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, the interesting thing is that in John chapter 16, verse 8, the word for convict, and in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, where Paul uses the word expose is the same word in the Greek. In other words, when we, children of light, walk in the world, we are shining God's light on the dark deeds of the world, on the darkness of the world. And that brings conviction. And so, as children of God, we need to live lives that will shine God's light on them. You're a light. God's light shining in this world. Robert Louis Stevenson. When he was a young boy, he was very sickly and he didn't get to go out and play a lot. He had to stay inside and a lot of times he would be in his room just looking to the outside to see and observe what was going on. And one evening while he was looking down on the street, he saw a man coming down the street lighting the gas lamps. His nurse asked him, "What are you doing?" He answered, "I'm watching the man knock holes in the darkness." You see, every one of God's children, what are we to be doing? We live in a dark world, a world of darkness. A world of people who are children of darkness. And we, in our lives, should be knocking holes in the darkness through our lives. Letting people know about the Lord Jesus Christ. In conclusion, you and I are God's light shining in the world to bring conviction, to reveal the needs of the world. Sadly, too many pastors, too many churches believe that in order to win people to Christ, they've got to make them feel comfortable. We're supposed to avoid subjects like sin, righteousness, and judgment. Instead, we're supposed to focus on how to have a happy family, how to do well in business, how to deal with their problems, etc., etc. In other words, we're not supposed to expose the unfruitful works of darkness through our preaching and teaching. Because we don't want to offend anyone. Just tell them how much God loves them. That'll be enough. But Jesus said that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convict. Remember, that's the same word as expose here in Ephesians 5. Convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Without that conviction, unbelievers will not see their need and flee to the Savior. So Paul's strategy, walk as children of light. Maintain a proper separation from the world. You see, if I'm going to be a witness to the world and help bring conviction and draw them to the Savior who can bring them out of darkness, my life has got to be different from the world's. I've got to live a different life. So maintain a proper separation from the world, but also maintain a proper contact with the world. You see, Jesus said, "You're to be in the world, but not of the world." And Jesus was our prime example of that. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, he said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And one of the great accusations the Jews made against Jesus was that he was consorting with publicans or tax collectors and sinners. But you see, if we totally withdraw from the world, like the Amish have done and other groups have done, then we totally lose our ability to win the world. But what God wants me to do is in the workplace, in the school, wherever I am, to let my light shine there so that that light can expose and draw and bring conviction to them to know that God loves them. So maintain that proper contact with the world. And as you do your godly life and your words, your witness, your testimony will expose their deeds of darkness. And there will be some who will awake, receive Jesus as their personal Savior, and they will have the light of the world shining in their heart as He shines in yours and mine today. Richard, would you come and lead us on our hymn of invitation? And if God has spoken to your heart, we'd invite you to come. If you've never received Jesus as your personal Savior, we'd invite you to come and let Him become the light of your life. And if you're here in a family or an individual and that you'd like to place your membership in our church and join us in serving the Lord here, we'd invite you to come today. As we stand together, what number?
378. Take my life and let it be.
As we continue to sing another stanza, as God speaks to your heart, reveals your need.